please proceed with caution. This podcast contains explicit material. I want to start with a confession, one of many. I am no expert. Podcasts are brimming with doctors, specialists, and geeks, a term I use with the utmost respect, who know their subject matters inside out. This podcast is a little different, in the sense that I am on a quest to become a specialist in an area of my life that has been neglected over the last 6 years. With a 3-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter, I want to empower myself through sex and reconnect with my partner of 10 years. I'm going to share what I learn, fail at, discover, and get totally baffled by with you, dear listener. Because I get the sense from the many conversations with predominantly female friends, family, strangers at the Christmas party, anyone who will listen, that I am not alone in feeling as though a vital, joyous, energizing part of my life has been deprioritized, and that connecting with my erotic self is now a matter of urgency. I know that I am touching the surface of what is possible when two willing, sexually curious, albeit exhausted people come together in a bid to find pleasure, and that at the core of it all is my relationship and understanding of my body, particularly my sexual area, which I am beginning to appreciate is so much broader than just my vagina, my relationship with my partner, and my willingness to invest in learning about what I truly desire. Although I would have identified as having a great sex life in my 20s, with a modest number of long-term partners that I experimented and had plenty of orgasms with, the truth is that, well, I'm vanilla. Despite owning 3 of Lou Padgett's books, a 64-year-old Canadian sex educator whose advice is, amongst other things, practical and imaginative, I've woken up, aged 42, and realised that there is so much I haven't learnt about myself, or tried, that I really want to. The truth is, I'm not getting enough sex, and there's this gnawing feeling that I've barely begun to experience the kind of pleasure my body is capable of. In my case, it's no one's fault. It's just life with small children and bills to pay. Or is it? Why, when I go to the internet to learn more about female sexual pleasure, do I have to dig so deep, bypassing so much vulgarity, crudeness, and misogyny? Why do I have to go to the internet in the first place? It's 2020. Surely women's sexual pleasure is a regular topic of conversation between friends, generations, and lovers, no? No. In my heterosexual, cisgender, white British context, female pleasure remains borderline taboo and predominantly shrouded in mystery. In addition to my own personal pleasure and well-being, there are other driving factors for doing this. More on exactly what this is shortly. I have dedicated my working life to enabling young people to fulfill their potential, specifically young people who, through no fault of their own, start with so much stacked against them. It was whilst working for the charity Place to Be, back in 2013, that I attended a short lecture by Professor Tanya Byron, who is, amongst other things, a child therapist. She blew me away. She talked so much sense, and yet up until that point, I hadn't heard anyone tackling the issues she raised that afternoon. Namely, the impact of the internet on our children, and within that, online pornography. Fast forward to today, and according to the NSPCC's website, one of the UK's leading children's charities, 53% of boys and 39% of girls who had seen online pornography said they thought it was realistic. And that 3 in 4 young women believe porn has led to pressure on women to act a certain way. I recently learnt, reading Naomi Wolf's Vagina, that, quote, bad sex, inattentive sex, with a selfish or distracted partner is actually chemically dispiriting and damaging psychologically to women. This didn't come as a surprise to me, as I'm sure it won't to many of you. Becoming sexually active was tough in my day, and I had a mother who was good at talking about sex and encouraging me to only do what I found fun and pleasurable. Even so, I had some unpleasant experiences. 51% of women in the UK report pain or anxiety while having sex. Young women today have so much more to contend with. I just don't think I can leave them to it. And I'm wondering, if I share my experiences, then perhaps it will give parents and young people more to go on when they begin to explore their own bodies and mattress dance with others in a bid to find pleasure and connection. And then there is the Me Too movement. Last year, I was out with two friends and I brought up Tarana Burke, founder of the Me Too movement, and I asked them if they had experienced sexual harassment or worse, and thankfully, they said they hadn't. The alcohol had loosened my tongue, so I told them about the three minor incidents when strange men grabbed my vulva whilst in public. Once when I was about 14, walking into a corner store after school, once at Notting Hill Carnival in my 20s, and once on holiday, in the souks of Marrakesh. In each case, I hadn't even had eye contact with them, and I didn't see it coming. The men forced their hand in between my legs and roughly grabbed me in that most personal and private of places. It just happened, and then everything carried on. My friends' reactions surprised me. They said something about me being sexy and therefore attracting attention, and then changed the subject. I didn't even get to the time when I was about 6 or 7, wearing roller skates at a party, and a man picked me up, supposedly to help me navigate a patch of ground that I couldn't get over. And whilst I was in his arms, he stroked my vulva over my knickers with his fingers. I've never told anyone that. I'm glad I didn't bring it up that night because I don't think my thoughtful, loving, intelligent friends knew what to say about any of it. They obviously felt uncomfortable. Perhaps it was bad timing. We'd been having a really fun night. This definitely took us into more serious territory. However, I've concluded that we're still coming to terms with this movement. The scale itself is so horrific, with 1 in 3 women being victims of sexual violence. I don't think people always know how to react and what to say. Whilst reading Women Who Run With The Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes years back, I wanted to tattoo the mucky root of all women across my stomach. I've always felt mucky, but didn't even consider embracing my muckiness. Instead, I worked hard to improve myself, believing I should have more control, trying to silence myself in some way. I am highly emotional, volatile, and passionate. I've been described as leery and formidable on more than one occasion. So to then go on to read about the connection between the treatment of the vagina and women's ability to relax, create, explore, lead and excel, well, it fascinated me. The more I read about the female erotic, the history, the psychology, the science, and the sociological, the more I understand how key it is. I'm hoping this podcast will help me, and ideally others, feel more empowered, not only in the bedroom, but in general. So why 12? At last, I can hear some of you say, she's going to get to the sex bit. According to Refinery29, a website focusing on young women, there are 12 different ways a woman can orgasm. I want to use these 12 as a guide to explore my sex life and my relationship with my husband. I'll call him H. H is totally up for this journey. We're both excited about what we might learn and the potential for this adventure to bring us closer. I really love and respect him for being open to us sharing our experiences, and I'm very grateful to him for his support in general, across the board. It is important to me that you know this is not a goal-orientated exercise. I'm not looking to plough through all 12 with the sole aim of ticking boxes. I don't have an orgasm target. Far from it. It is the getting there that I am interested in, and I'm not anxious to arrive at any given destination. The 12 will be a gentle guide. I'll be using various resources along the way to understand everything I can about each of the 12, and I'll share back what I learn. Then H and I will give it a go, and I'll report back. Taking Brené Brown's power of vulnerability to the extreme. I don't know where this podcast will take us, but stick with me as I work it out. I promise it'll be entertaining. All I ask is that you listen, share, comment, and guide me. I have much to learn. Next episode, the mystical G-spot. Follow and connect via Instagram at 12for pleasure. That's 12 the word, 4 the number, pleasure. 12for pleasure. Or email Sarah at 12forpleasure.com. Contact details also in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this Sochcast. What is your Soch? Send us your comments on our Facebook page and Instagram page. It's time for you to do your own Sochcast at Sochcast. Apni Soch, Duniya Ko Sunao. Soch.